Can he do it again? Mike could. Bibby stops. Pops. Bibby. Good hero. Again. A back-to-back dunks. Oh, boy. 1.5 seconds. No timeouts. Tyreek. At the horn. Oh, my goodness.
Cousins gets a touch, and he helps out.
That is a man's jam! DeMarcus Cousins nearly brought down the backboard and rim.
You're now listening to the Kings Court Podcast, presented by SatKingsNation.com.
Welcome, Kings fans. This is Joe Morgan, your host. I am joined today by Joe Molinax, who covers the Grizzlies for SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues. Thanks for joining me today, Joe.
Of course. Happy to come on. Appreciate you reaching out.
All right. Well, let's jump right into the deep end. What were your initial thoughts as a Grizzlies writer when the team released Jaeger?
Well, I at first, and this is a kind of a point of contention with me, so it's always one of those things, and I'm sure you guys experience this out in Sacramento. People try to be that guy that's like, well, actually, I'm not surprised at all. I saw this come. That's bullcrap. So many people that maybe were on the inside, obviously as a lowly blogger myself, you know, maybe if you're somebody who's a day-to-day media member, you've seen the signs, there's things that they can't report per se to keep a relationship with the organization, so they do have sources. Maybe they had an inkling, and there's certainly tension, don't get me wrong. Dave Jaeger has come out and called the roster of the Memphis Grizzlies old and slow openly on multiple occasions. He's, you know, belittled and battered the front office and a variety of things over the past couple of seasons. So the tension there certainly wasn't a surprise. The timing of the firing, the fact, to be honest with you, that it was for Sacramento. I mean, if we're talking about front office stability, Sacramento is not really a team that comes to mind, to be honest.
Yeah, we're not known for that here.
Yeah, so the fact that it was Sacramento was more surprising. I would have expected them to negotiate an extension and then maybe it break off because he wanted too much money for Memphis's blood. But no, it was surprising to me. I was surprised by the timing of it. I think that they made the right decision in hindsight. You can't have a guy who's not all the way in, especially in a city like Memphis that is kind of behind the eight ball with a variety of things as it is in terms of free agency, attractiveness, and things like that. You need somebody who is all in to what you're trying to build. And if Dave Jaeger wasn't that, he needed to go.
I couldn't agree more. We have that exact same problem here.
Right. No, you're, and that makes sense. Sacramento is actually kind of a similar market to Memphis in terms of small market. You know, it's not the most, especially, you know, if we're talking about the South, you have Memphis, Dallas is, you know, a few hours to the west, Atlanta, of course, to the east. There's a variety of places that are attractive in the South that if somebody's like, hey, you know, I want to go play in the South, Memphis probably on the top of their list. Probably the same thing with Sacramento. I mean, you've got L.A. and you've got all these other different places that maybe would be more attractive to a free agent. You need a coach who is going to build through the draft with the front office, work well together, and that just wasn't happening in Memphis. And the second time that he asked to get out, it was time to let him go.
We here in Sacramento are hearing two different stories. The narrative of Dave Jaeger, the coach who, through devastating injuries, he led the Grizzlies to the seventh seed. And then we're hearing the narrative of the malcontent who had open disagreements with the front office and had an April and a March where the Grizzlies went 8-16 to finish out the season. Who and what should the Kings fans expect here?
Both. I think they should expect both because they're one and the same. They're the same man. I think it's important to understand that this is a guy who has a lot of experience in D-League situations. He's a coach who came up through that atmosphere and that way of doing things. So he understands that, you know, and obviously Memphis was in a really tough spot health-wise this season. He knows how to put those pieces together. So that's one positive of Dave Jaeger is his ability to kind of pick and prod what his team is best at and make a game plan around it and try to put them in the best position to be successful. That's a strength of his. But he has shown a tendency when he doesn't get his way or if there's a player, Rodney Hood is always kind of an example that's brought up draft-wise with the Grizzlies. Rodney Hood, obviously of Utah, who's having a good young start to his career. Rodney Hood is a guy who
the Grizzlies took Jordan Adams right before him, and he was very much a Rodney Hood guy, and he made it clear in public that he was a Rodney Hood guy. And that's kind of a tendency that we think that he might have gotten from his predecessor, Lionel Hollins, the ability of, you know, kind of critiquing the front office. He might have picked up a little bit too much from his mentor there. I think Sacramento can expect both. I think that they can expect a guy who's excellent at out-of-timeout plays. They can expect a guy who is capable of getting the most out of the players on his roster. But at the same time, if he's unhappy, he's going to let you know it. And that's kind of what gives me pause when it comes to him going to Sacramento, because with Vlade there and the ownership, it's going to be an interesting marriage. And I'm kind of curious in a sick, twisted way to see how it plays out with Dave out there. It seems like the biggest issue for him might have been money, and he certainly has had that problem solved. So maybe that'll help him keep a little bit happier.
Well, and in the initial press conference here, he said that there would be no cracks, and that him and Vlade were on the same sheet, and that he would never be in the media talking about Vlade, and Vlade would never be in the media talking about him. And I loved that he said it, but with a track record, you always wonder, you know, is that a lesson learned and it's behind him, or is that something that's going to come out? And so, of course, we have our version of watching that here too, with a little more emphasis on, you know, we're a little nervous, and I mean, hey, we're really happy with the hire, but the Sacramento Kings, you know, are also known in history to be a little bit of a rocky place. So hopefully that's behind us. Jaeger worked with some of the other rough around the edges players in Memphis, Zach Randolph, Lance Stevenson, etc. I'm not sure if you've heard, but here in Sacramento, we too have a gentleman who sometimes is referred to as hard to coach. And
Rudy Gay.
After watching Jaeger out there.
Is that a Rudy Gay thing? No? Oh, you're talking about Boogie.
Yeah, I might be talking about that big man that we have. But after watching him work out there, what's your prediction for his ability to form a positive relationship with DeMarcus?
I would say that it's going to be challenging for Dave. I mean, a lot of guys have come through there and worked with Boogie at this point, and they haven't been able to make that relationship yet. I think Dave has a pedigree of success, not quite to the level of a George Karl, of course, but Dave Jaeger also, like you said, has dealt with eclectic personalities in the past. Zach Randolph, Lance Stevenson, Tony Allen, Matt Barnes, you know, the list goes on and on and on of guys that he's coached that, you know, would be similar to Boogie in that mentality spectrum. I think that there's a chance that they form a good relationship. It's going to be on Dave Jaeger to show Boogie that he has his best interest at heart. And I'm not sure that all of the coaches that have gone through Sacramento yet have been able to convince Boogie of that. And sometimes you have to do that with an individual player. You know, guys kind of need to be rubbed the right way, so to speak. And I think that Dave Jaeger is able to play those cards right. And I also think that it'll benefit Dave to have a guy like a Rudy Gay on the roster if he stays in Sacramento, trades and all that jazz. Kosta Koufos is another guy who Dave loved during his time in Memphis. And the money just wasn't there to keep Kosta. But if those two guys stay in the plans for Sacramento, I think having them in the locker room, if they had positive experiences with Dave, will certainly be a major positive for Jaeger as he tries to establish relationships with these new players.
I think that could work out really well. I have not yet heard a comment from either Kosta or Rudy Gay. I'm waiting for that to come out in the press. I'm waiting for somebody to get that soundbite, but of course everybody's on vacation right now.
It's a rough time of the year for these kinds of things to break.
Yeah, it's hard to get information out of guys who are in the Bahamas right now. So, you know, if I was there, I wouldn't be answering my phone either. Talking about his press conference here, Jaeger was joking around. He seemed real happy and pleasant, and he just had such an open dialogue with the press. And having come from a George Karl who's one-word answers were, you know, a little curt almost. Is he always like that? I mean, does he always seem pleasant and happy? And, I mean, he just seems like a happy-go-lucky guy. Of course, he just got a $4 million payday. Maybe that's the reason, you know. But is that a constant with him?
Well, in terms of conversations with the press, you're going to find he is more open than a George Karl or a Greg Popovich. He's much more interested in having those conversations. He'll explain reasonings for things. It's not one of those old school kind of, I do it because it's the way I do it and I leave it at that. He has good dialogue, good conversation. In my limited experience, I covered several games for our blog, grizzlybearblues.com. And I, you know, saw various media interact with Dave, and he seems very cordial, and he's a guy who is open and will discuss things. Obviously he's not going to give you full dissertations, but he's a guy who is personable. He's a guy who can be well-liked, but at the same time, he's a guy, again, it goes back to the front office in Memphis. If he's not happy or if there's something going on in his mind, he's going to let you know it. He would openly talk, you know, and this comes out in hindsight, of course. But, you know, you hear media people say in the past, you know, Dave Yeager, like, said this season he's coaching for his next job. You know, sometimes you might be a little too open with your information. And, again, people don't report that until after the fact because they don't want to, you know, crush their own sources and things like that. But
yeah, pretty hard to get a second interview.
Exactly. And Dave made it very clear when he asked for the interview with Sacramento that he didn't want to be in Memphis anymore. So there's a gift and a curse to that. If you're in a spot where you ask a good question, or if you're really, you know, invested in trying to figure out something, Dave will have that conversation more often than not. But at the same time, he's a guy that he might give you an answer you don't want to hear. And he's just going to kind of be that guy. And maybe he'll be more willing to be that guy now that he has essentially double the money in his pocket.
Well, and hopefully here in Sacramento, again, where we're used to the old school answer of this is how it is because this is how it is, it'd be real nice to have the fans get a chance to meet and understand who he is and why he's doing things. We had some players last year who never got off the bench, and they didn't even know why. They never were told, not only to the press, but I mean even to the players, he seems more open. And that seems to be a really good thing to build some trust. So on that same note, actually, Yeager in his press conference, I keep going back to the press conference because I swear to you it looked like a total home run from here. Of course, you know, there's always history. So he said, sure. Trust is built at the defensive end of the floor, and chemistry is built at the defensive end of the floor. We'll build our team through that end. Now, last year, Sacramento was among the worst in the league on the defensive side of the ball, while at the same time, the last few Yeager-led Grizzly squads have allowed, like, the fewest, among the fewest points per game in the NBA. Is in your opinion, is that coaching or is that roster?
I think it's a combination, and I'm sorry if that sounds like cop-out answers to your listeners. But part of it with the defensive prowess of the Grizzlies, they also play one of the historically, or not historically, but the past 5 years or so, one of the slowest paces in the NBA. So that explains some of the points being lower because there's just less possessions. But, you know, it comes down to the way your scheme is developed. On the defensive side, Marc Gasol was the guy they built around the scheme around. Obviously, having Tony Allen on the perimeter, one of the top perimeter defenders in the NBA, is helpful. And it really is more of an effort and a mentality thing when you watch the Grizzlies in particular. Defense, more often than not, is just a case of want to. And you watch Sacramento and you look at their personnel. I mean, Kostas Koufos is one of the most underrated big men defenders in the NBA. You have Rudy Gay, who should be athletic enough to defend multiple positions, but that doesn't always happen. And you've got Boogie, who I think could also be underutilized in that role. You've got some pieces there that could potentially be defensive stalwarts. But so much of that is buy-in, and so much of that is convincing people, you know, this is how our scheme is going to run, and this is how we're going to execute. So much of what Dave likes to do defensively is also built around kind of overloading the strong side. So you'll notice as he installs that defense and as you watch the early games, preseason and early regular season games, you're going to see a lot of rotations, and you might see some teams that are used to Yeager's schemes try to do a quick little skip pass to the weak side. And the Grizzlies give up an obscene amount of threes, more and more this season. It seemed like teams were having, you know, season highs of made threes and shooting percentages against the Grizzlies. Part of that is schematic, and I think that, you know, especially as the NBA kind of shifts, it'd be wise of Dave Yeager to take advantage of his new personnel and his new staff and maybe make some adjustments to his schemes as well. Because the three-point shot, defending it, has been an issue for the Grizzlies for the past couple of seasons.
Well, I can tell you this, here in Sacramento, where we have the switch defense getting run and run horribly and poorly, anything would be an upgrade to what we had last year. So, of course, we're looking forward to any kind of change, just because you can't get worse than either last or second to last in half the categories. It'd be pretty hard to go down from where we are, but at the same time,
that is true.
At the same time, though, three-point shooting was also one of our main issues last year. We let the Kings let, rather, so many teams come in here and, as you said, have career highs on things, and you go, what are you guys doing? It was so hard to watch. It was so hard to be a part of, because you just, as you said, it's buy-in. It's them, you know, running and putting in that extra 2% hustle that makes the difference between a super play and a horrible one. And a lot of times I think it was buy-in, and hopefully he can get that and he can make the defense a little bit better.
It's going to be a challenge for him. And, you know, so much of, and it's interesting that you hear the two sides of Dave, and I think that that's fair. Dave Yeager, in his now famous crying press conference, which, you know, inspired a lot of, you know, the the inspirational, emotional pieces. For I'm one of those guys who posted one of those kinds of articles about how much he cared and all that stuff, and it looks kind of silly in hindsight now. But I do believe in that moment he did care. But if you listen to the press conference, it's fascinating. He mentions guys like Vince Carter and Matt Barnes, but he doesn't say Zach Randolph and Tony Allen. And you see Dave Yeager leaving Memphis, but you don't get the vibe that Mike Conley and Marc Gasol are all that upset about it. You know, he didn't necessarily have the best players on the team towards the end of his tenure in his corner. And I think that that's something to keep an eye on in Sacramento. And it goes back to Boogie and Rudy and whoever else they decide to build that team around. He's going to have to get in well with them. Maybe he can do it on the defensive side of the court. But he's going to have to develop healthier, more long-term relationships than he did in Memphis with his players. Otherwise, you know, that contract will be nice for a few years, and he'll be moving along just like he did in Memphis, because and the players won't be that upset about it.
Well, and as I said before, hopefully that's a growth thing. He was a new coach when he came to you, and you know, hopefully he's wiser now, having had that exact experience. I mean, hey, you learn from your mistakes, so certainly hopefully that's the case. But we will see. I mean, hey, that's kind of how this all goes. Is at the end of the day, we can all speculate, we can all guess, we can all look at the stats and guess what's going to happen, and hopefully those relationships do get built and those relationships prosper. That's the only way that this team is going to have a chance.
And Sacramento is an underachieving team, in my opinion. I mean, especially having a top 10 player in the NBA in Boogie Cousins, Rudy Gay in the right system as a small ball four. You know, I think he can really be an explosive player. He's shown that capability in the past. Bellinelli is a three-point shooter. I'm a big Kostas Koufos guy. You have some good pieces in Sacramento. It's just going to come down to getting the right guy in there to get them to buy into a system and an identity. And that's so much of what has made Memphis successful is an identity. How much credit you give to Dave Yeager for that and how much credit you give to the players, that is certainly up to question. And I think we're going to find out to extent now that that has been split. And if Dave Yeager, if it was a chunk Dave Yeager, if he can cultivate that in Sacramento as he did in Memphis. Most people in Memphis think it was more Zach Randolph, Tony Allen, those veteran leaders. It's going to be tested, and I think it's going to be fascinating to watch unfold.
It will be very entertaining and very interesting to watch, and from the perspective of someone who covers the team, it is going to be wild to watch whether or not all this works out, because if it does, this team, like you said, they underachieved last year. They had all the pieces that you needed to win, not a championship, not anything like that, but certainly to win more games than they did. All the teams that Yeager has been a part of, they've been in 5-point games. I think I don't have it in front of me, but I think the stat was like 65% of all games under 5 points he's won. The team has won. In our system here, in Sacramento's system, it's almost the exact opposite. We lose, right. The Kings lose almost 70% of games that are close like that. If you don't have a 15-point lead going into the fourth quarter, Kings fans start leaving. And it's just, it's almost known that under the George Karl system, you know, this is going to go poorly if we don't have a huge lead going into that fourth quarter. So it's going to be interesting to see if that works out. And obviously, again, you know, here in Sacramento, we're hoping that it does. Now, just to wrap this up for you, I know you're holding that baby, and it's probably almost time to run away. But let's end this on something that means a lot to me, and it means a lot to the fans here in Sacramento. In his opening press conference, he mentioned multiple times the word family. Here in Sacramento, the fans consider themselves a Kings family. In Memphis, did he seem like he ran the team like a family? You mentioned some problems with Conley and some other guys. Was it a family atmosphere? Did they seem to get along, or did it seem like there were just issues?
Well, any family has dysfunction. I think that's important to keep in mind. And the thing that is so attractive about the Memphis Grizzlies, and I do think that there is a level to this with the Sacramento Kings as well, is that small market mentality. In Memphis, it's been amplified by the fact that, you know, the team has taken on the personality of the city. It's eclectic. It's aggressive. It's a team that the city truly can be proud of. And again, it's going to come down to how much of that is the players that are currently on the Grizzlies roster and how much of that is the culture that coaching can cultivate through Lionel Hollins and his, you know, successor, Dave Yeager, who's now the head coach of the Sacramento Kings. It's going to be so interesting to watch how he does that. I would say that Dave Yeager is a part of cultivating that, and I think that he could possibly get the Kings to buy in to that idea as well. But it all comes down to how much you value a coach. Clearly the Kings front office, Vlade and them, they value what Dave Yeager can bring. And he has that potential to be a game changer for them in a variety of ways. Now, he's going to frustrate your fans too. He's going to make some decisions in terms of lineups that you're just going to look at and not understand at all. There's going to be times where he's going to play some group of guys that makes no sense going against who he's going against, and then you'll ask him about it, and he'll say, oh, well, at that moment in the game, I had the feel that that was going to be a lineup that would work. You know, it's not going to be smooth sailing. But, I mean, you just outlined a lot of scenarios in which fans are leaving early if they're not winning by 15 and things like that. Dave Yeager is certainly an upgrade over what you have had in the past. Is he going to be Greg Popovich or Rick Carlisle or somebody like that? Probably not. But he's a top 10 to 12 coach in the NBA right now, and you guys didn't have that last season. So your fans should be happy with the hire. Just make sure you have clear expectations moving forward, especially as in the next couple of years they probably mix and mold the pieces that are going to fit around Boogie and the others that they hope to, you know, build the foundation with the Kings.
Sacramento fans have had a decade of being beaten up, being abused by both the front office, the management, you know, every level of the team, down to the hot dog guys, I think. I think everyone in this organization at some point has annoyed the fans. And hopefully the new era of Proud, as they're calling it, is something that Dave Yeager can be a part of. Hopefully it's something that he is leading the charge on. And I really do hope that it becomes a family here. I really do hope that he does well. Like you said, do I think he's going to be the next Greg Popovich? Man, I hope so. In the lottery pick, you know, I also hope I win six digits on the lotto next time. So, you know, there's always hope, but the reality is probably not a Popovich. But like you said, he is a top 10 coach, and that's outstanding. That's certainly, well, I can't say that it's not what we had. We had George Karl. He was and is, you know, a Hall of Fame level coach. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame, but somehow when he came here, it just did not translate. So hopefully this is a different scenario. Hopefully it works out better. I actually forgot to ask one more question. George Karl never wanted to play rookies. He had not a rule against it. He put them out there occasionally, but he was really, really stingy when it came to minutes for rookies. Is that something that Yeager does, or is he more, you know, best player plays?
He is stingy when it comes to rookies. He's not going to, unless, you know, and obviously the Kings, forgive me for not knowing their exact draft situation. Depending on how your roster works out, maybe there's a guy that they can slide in and he'll have to play in the rotation just because he's such a high draft pick. But it's a spot where he's not a huge rookie guy either. And I think that he gets that from his predecessor, Lionel Hollins in Memphis. Lionel was not a big rookie playing guy either. And Dave just kind of carried that on. Now, as the injuries mounted this past season, his hand was forced, and he had to play Jarrell Martin a good bit towards the end, especially before he got hurt, as almost every Grizzly did this season.
Yeah, 28 guys on the roster by the end of it. Yeah, exactly. There were a few stubbed toes.
A few. So Jarrell Martin had to play the 2015 pick, and he looked good in spots. But Jarrell Martin wouldn't have played any reps if it weren't for all of the injuries to Brandon Wright and Marc Gasol and everybody else who went down as the season went on. Jarrell Martin was going to be in Iowa with the Iowa Energy, the D-League affiliate of the Grizzlies, for most of the season, if not all of it, if the health had stayed. So it's a situation where Dave's not going to play rookies unless he honestly believes they are better than the veteran that's in front of them, and Dave values that experience a good bit. And Dave values, you know, a guy like a Rudy Gay a good bit, I would say. Jeff Green was kind of his Rudy Gay in Memphis. There were times where Jeff Green, actually earlier in the season, you know, Zach Randolph was benched in exchange for Jeff Green. You can only imagine how frustrated fans were by that. People love Zach Randolph in Memphis and are not as fond of Jeff Green. I was a big Jeff Green guy myself, but even I was like, whoa, you're starting him in front of Zach. That's interesting. Dave has his views, and he's going to start who he's going to start and play who he's going to play. Often that is on the side of athleticism. Often that is on the side of playmaking on the wing. And often that is on the side of not playing very many rookies.
Well, last year we picked sixth, and with Willie Cauley-Stein, who looked to be an amazing talent coming in and has played really, really well in the last couple months of the season, it just never... he never quite got the minutes that most Kings fans thought he deserved. And when asked about it, of course, we were told this is the roster because it's the roster I printed,
right,
and this is how it's going to be. And hopefully at least this year, and even Willie at one point in a press conference said, I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm misquoting him, of course, you know, word for word. But basically, I don't know. I don't know why I'm not getting any minutes. No one's told me. I'm hoping right. that even if they don't play as much, we pick most likely the Kings will pick in the eight spot unless, you know, the stars align and they pull a lotto higher. But, you know, we don't have much hope out here in Sacramento usually. We usually land where we land. So, you know, unless something just falls off the map and we get a guy at eight, there's probably not going to be a, you know, a superstar born there. But you never know. And hopefully that's the, you know, again, eternal optimist here. We hope that's the case. But, you know, the odds are not as high as getting the number one, number two, number three spot. So,
sure.
I guess that's all I have for you. The only thing I'd say left is there anything else about Coach Yeager that I missed that you think we should know out here in Sacramento?
Well, I think that it's important, and I don't want to sound like I'm bashing Coach Yeager because I'm not. I truly believe he's a top 10 to 12 coach in the NBA at this point. But the conversation that people are having in Memphis, and I think it's a fair one to have, is outside of a Greg Popovich and maybe a Rick Carlisle. And maybe you say Brad Stevens because he's so young. But there is very few irreplaceable coaches, or there are very few irreplaceable coaches. And it's interesting to see Dave get invested in, and I think he deserves that investment. But you also, especially in a sport like basketball, and especially with the NBA being the way it is, the Kings have their superstar in Boogie, and that's who they're going to build around. They have to get the players to buy into a culture change. That is what has made Memphis so successful, is the fact that they, especially a small market team, which I know Sacramento can relate to, it has to be cultural. The fact that the team, the Grizzlies, had success making the playoffs even after having so many injuries, and yes, the end of the season was very rough. I was there. I watched it. It was ugly. but they still survived and got into the playoffs. That was through sheer will. They were starting Jordan Farmar, and they were starting Chris Anderson. It was an S show, and they made it happen through will. That's the only way that they had any success. They willed it. They beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland, and they beat Chicago and the Bulls when the Bulls were fighting for their playoff lives, and Memphis had no business beating them. It's fascinating to look at how the Grizzlies fought at times. How much of that was Dave Yeager? How much of that was the culture instilled by the players? This season and the next couple of seasons is really going to be a test of that. And to be honest with you, I'm interested in watching Sacramento these next couple of seasons and seeing how big of a piece Dave Yeager was in this Memphis grit and grind era, because he was an assistant coach, the lead assistant under Lionel for the beginnings of the era, and of course he was 3 years of the head coach for it. So how important coaching is in the modern NBA, especially to a small market team, I think you're really going to get a case study in that these next couple of seasons with the move from Memphis to Sacramento for Dave Yeager.
Well, hey, again, thank you so much for coming on. You've given us a lot to think about. It's definitely going to be an interesting year and worth following here in Sacramento. And for that matter, depending on who you guys get as a coach, it'll be very interesting to follow Memphis. So, again, thanks for coming on, and I hope to talk to you again.
Of course, absolutely, anytime. Thank you very much for having me.